Okay, Ksubis, Samach Tes, Amir Aleph, in the Shatnin 69A3, in our Gemara, it's, Okay, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines in the bottom of the page. Samach Tes, Amir Aleph. 69A3. How many lines did I just say?
15.
Okay. The Gemara asked the question before, when a woman collects the daughter's right, you know, to get the dowry money, yeah? So, there was an argument, well, initially there was an argument. Does she have a din of a Baal Chayv or a Yoyrish? Okay? The father dies, so the girl has a right to collect 10% from the estate for dowry. That 10%, does she have a din of a debtor, a Baal Chayv? That means the father owes her money, or is it as inheritance? Okay? The Gemara's conclusion, first the Maimer said it's a Yerusha, Ravashi said no, it's a debtor, and the Gemara's conclusion was, Maimer also changed his mind. Bottom line is, this that a girl, it's very logical, this that a girl collects from the estate, she has a din of a debtor. Okay? That means she has to collect the debt. But now the Gemara is asking an interesting question. Hashta the Amid Baal Chayv Hava, now that you're saying that she's a creditor, right, it's a debt, Abba Oida Achen, is she a creditor of the father, or the brothers? Malamai nafkamina. So the Gemara said, what's the difference if it's a debtor of the father or the debtor of the brothers? So she said like this, is it lemigvah lebeninis shalei b'shvua? Can she collect middle type of land? I'll explain in a second. Without a shvua? Or ziburis b'shvua? Or does she collect inferior land with a shvua, meaning like this. We learned this before. Well, we did learn this before. Ksuba collects from the best property. Let's say, okay, there's good property, middle property, and low property. Now, it's not so much cheaper. It's, let's say a woman has to collect a ksuba. Let's say the ksuba is 200 zuz. Now, she can get good land that's $200 but smaller because it's expensive land. Or she can get cheaper land that's bigger, also $200. She can't collect more than $200. But does she get prime real estate, middle real estate, or the cheaper real estate? Now, why is it better to get bigger, the more expensive? It's
easier to sell, yeah?
Not only easier to sell, if it's a field, it's easier to work on good land, which is smaller, than bad land that you have to do more work. It's much more work. It's just everything. Selling is easier. It's just much better. Okay? So the Mishnah said before in Ksubas, the Nezakim, let's say I damaged you, and you have to collect money, I have to pay you because I damaged you, yeah, and I don't have money. So you go to fields that I have. So you go to the best fields. The Gemara says, a Baal Chayv gets middle type of field. He can't collect the best unless that's all the guy has. But if a guy has three different types of field, the debtor gets the middle field. Okay? Now, if it's an orphan, okay, collecting as inheritance, so then she would get inferior land only from the father's land after she swears. Meaning like this. If the brothers owe her the money, okay, the brothers are alive, right? The father died. The brothers inherited the land. So now they owe her the money for dowry. Let's say the tenth of the property is $1,000. Okay, that's what she gets for dowry. Father died. The girl didn't get married yet. The brothers inherited the land. So what do we say before in the Gemara? She can collect from the estate $1,000 for dowry. Right? Now, the Gemara says, is she a debtor of the brothers? Which means, the brothers owe her the money. Therefore, it's like a regular debtor. What type of land does she collect the dowry from? From the middle land. Beninus. Plus, she doesn't have to swear. Okay? But there's a din. If a father dies, the father owed somebody money. Yeah, the father owed somebody money. And he died. And there's property. In order for the debtor to collect the money, number one, they have to swear that they never got paid. Secondly, they can only get from the junk property. Why? The kids don't owe her the money. The father owed her money, right? So the kids have no choice. There's a lien on the estate. Okay? But the Torah says that they can give the worst type of land. And you have to swear, because maybe the father paid him already. The kids don't know, right? So if I owe you the money, and Beis Din rules that I owe you the money, right, and everybody agrees, then I go to you, I collect the land, I don't have to swear. What type of land do I get? The middle land. If you're collecting from kids of a debtor who died, number one, you have to swear. Secondly, you only get the junk, the inferior property. Okay? So the Gemara asks, this girl gets the dowry because it's a debt. That's what the Gemara came to the conclusion. It's a din of a debt. But whose debt is it? Is it the brother's debt? Or is it the father's debt?
Well, doesn't the
father's debt? If it's the father's debt, she can't collect from middle property. She can only collect from the inferior property. It was called Zibudis, the junky property. And she would have to swear to the brothers that she never got money.
She also has to swear? Like
yeah. Because who owes her the money? The father. The father died. So it's a regular debt. Guy, a debtor, collects a debt after the guy died. You could only get junky property and you have to swear. Right? But if the brothers owe her the money, then she can get from better land without swearing. So the Gemara's question is very simple now. Now that we ruled that the girl collecting the dowry is a debtor of Baal Chayiv, but whose debtor is she? Is he a debt from the father or is it from the brothers? So the Gemara says, what's the difference? If it's from the father, then she has to swear. Plus, she can only get Ziburis, the junky land. If it's the brothers owe her the money, then she can get it without a shvur, and she get the middle type of property. So that's what the Gemara asks, what's the din? What?
Doesn't it become brother's debt?
No.
Automatically? If the father owes something and it dies, inherits?
No. Because, well, it's not, they didn't borrow the money.
It transfers to them.
The debt transfers over. But, therefore, the Chum said, you don't have to give her the best property. It's not your debt. The father's debt. The father's debt. But it's on his property. So you don't have to give her the best property. Listen, do you know, according to Halacha, if I owe you $1,000, yeah, I can give you $1,000 worth of pennies, and all you can do with me is scream. Bezin's legitimate. I paid you $1,000. But nobody wants $1,000 worth of pennies, right? But halachically, I paid you $1,000. So that's the Gemara's question. Who is the debt? Who's the Baal Chayva? Is it the brothers? Then she can collect without a shvur the better property? Or is it the father? She can only collect the junky property with a shvur. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come up, prove it to you. Ravina Agve Librati Dravashi, okay? Ravashi passed away. The famous Ravashi of the Gemara, yeah? He passed away. The daughter of Ravashi came to collect dowry. So Ravina collected from Mar Beravashi. Ravashi had a son whose name was Mar Beravashi. That was his name. Yeah? but this is this girl's brother, right? Ravashi had a son and a daughter. The daughter's name, it doesn't say, daughter. And Ravashi's son is Mar. There was a name, Mar by Ravashi. Yeah? Now, Ravashi died. The girl needed to get married. So she wanted to collect dowry. So Ravino was the Rav involved. He collected from Mar by Ravashi, meaning from the girl's brother, the dowry. What did he get? Beinemis v'shulei b'shvuah. He collected for the girl from the middle property without a shvua. Because Ravina said, whose debtor is it? The brother, not the father. Therefore, she can collect the middle land. But when he collected it from the son of Ravsama, who was Ravashi, meaning it's her brother's son, then Zibur is Bishvur. The same Ravina collected from inferior land with an oath. Okay? What happens like this? No, what happened over here was like this. Ravashi had a son whose name was Ravsama, who died in Ravashi's lifetime. So Ravashi had one girl. Maybe he had more kids. We don't know. But right now we know he had three kids. Mar. That was named Mar by Ravashi. Who was still alive after Ravashi passed away. Ravsama, who died before Ravashi did. And there was the girl. Yes? Now, when Ravashi died, so who inherited the land? Ravsamar. And Ravsama's children. Because they're in the place of the father. If Ravsama would be alive, he would also get inheritance, right? So the grandkids get the inheritance of their father. Correct? Now, another girl of Ravashi had to collect the dowry from Ravsama's kids' property that Ravsama's kids inherited. Over there, because she was really a debtor to the brother, Ravsama. But Ravsama died. So the kids are inheritors. So then the girl had to swear, and he gave her the junky land. It was two different girls. One girl had to get from Mar by Ravashi, right? So over there, because Lepel, we see from there clearly that the debtor is the brothers, not the father. Because that's why when it was a brother, Ravina collected from the middle field without a shvuah, but when dealt with a grandkid, which is already inheritance, so then he collected only with the shvuah and the junky land. What?
So what's Idis, Benin, is Iburis?
Yeah.
It's always that way?
Well, unless the guy has one piece of land.
Right.
It's all relative to him, by the way.
So
Idis is small. Idis is best land. Beinim, in between land. Right. Ziburis is junk. Now, quality wise.
Not necessarily quantity.
No, usually quality.
Quality, okay.
Okay, but sometimes you can only cut. Now, if the guy only has one field, prime property, that's what everybody collects, because there's nothing else to collect from. If the guy had two properties, then sometimes you get from the better one, sometimes you get from the worst one. If a guy has three properties, so damages gets from the best, the woman gets in the middle, and the kids get from the worst. When you're the Yerusha.
It's all relative to each other.
Right. Okay, now the Gemara tells another story. Shalach Rav Nechemya b'Reid Rav Yosef. Rav Nechemya sent a letter Rav Nechemya, son of Rav Yosef, sent a letter to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna Zuta, because it was regular Rav Huna Zuta, whatever. into the city in Ardor. He says like this. Ki as Yahai Itzel Kamach, when this and this woman, in other words like this, there was a woman who had a right to collect the dowry. But it was in a different city. So Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef, was the one that paskin she needs to get the dowry, right? So he sent a letter to his colleague, Rabbi Baravuna, and he says, when this lady comes before you, Agba Isin Chosim, collect a tenth of the property, Afilu Mi'itz the Rubla, even from the base of the mill. Meaning, the stone that was the where the mill was resting on, which had a din of land because it was connected to the ground. Okay? Because he held, dowry can only be collected from land, not from tangible items, not like Rabbi learned before. Amen Rav Ashi said, Ki avina be Rav Kahana, when I was in the yeshiva Rav Kahana, have a magbinini, we neglect afilu mi'amla debisi, even the rent payable for houses in the estate. Okay? It means he collected with the future rent. Not the past rent, because that's already money collected. That's tangible. But Rav Ashi is an interesting thing. When they had to collect dowry for the girl, they collected it from the rent, the future rent of the property. Because the money they already collected, that's not land anymore. That's metalton. We just said here, you can only collect from land for dowry, not from any movable items. Okay. Next Gemara is a very interesting, you see the way that Meroim worked in the olden days. Shalach le Rav Anan Rav Huna. Rav Anan sent a letter to Rav Huna. And he said like this, Huna, Chavn Shlim, Huna, my friend, peace be on you. Ki as Yahayitze lekamach, he said like this, this and this woman is going to come to you in your city that I already ruled that she collects dowry. Agbe Isin Nechase, collect the tenth of the father's estate. Yeah? So basically, Rav Anan sent a letter to Rav Huna, calling him by his first name. Listen to this. He said, Huna, when this lady comes to you, collect the money that she's owed. Have Yosef Rav Sheshes Kame, the Rav Sheshes was sitting in the presence of Rav Huna when he got this letter. Amaleis Rav Huna said to Rav Sheshes, and he says like this, I'm warning you. Zil Emale, I'm warning you to tell him. Ubeshamta, and if you don't tell him, I will excommunicate the one that doesn't tell him this message. In other words, Rav Anan sent a letter to Rav Huna. Rav Huna was angry at Rav Anan for calling him Huna instead of Rav Huna. So he calls in his student Rav Sheshes, and he says to Rav Sheshes, I'm warning you to tell Anan the following message, because it wasn't a nice message. And if you don't, I will excommunicate you. Got it? What did he tell him? He said like this, tell him the following. Anan, Anan. Not Rav Anan. Anan, Anan. Mikakoy ayme metaltelem. Should I collect from land or from movable properties? Uman, and then he says like this, and I tell me, he sends a letter to Anan, who sits at the Mazricha Beresha, at the head of the house of Mazricha. We don't know yet what Mazricha is. Okay? Got it? So he says, send him a message back. Anan, Anan. Should I collect from land or from movable items? And who sits at the head of the Mazricha? Oh, so Rav Sheshes had no, it was a nasty note, we'll see why in a second. Rav Sheshes didn't really want to give over the message, because it wasn't nice. Okay? But he had no choice. Rav Huna told him, I'll excommunicate you if you don't give over the message. Amalei, so he says like this. He said, Mar Rabba, my master, meaning you, Rav Hanan, is a master. V'Rav Huna, Rabbi the Rabbi. But Rav Huna is my master's master. V'Shamaisi Shamis Mandoloy Amali. And I want you to know, he said, listen, don't blame me. You're my great, my teacher, but Rav Huna is your teacher. Okay? And he excommunicated me if I wouldn't give you over the message. And he says to him, V'lav the Shamis, I want you to know, if he wouldn't excommunicate me, lo yahava kamin, I wouldn't have come to you to give you the message. I have no choice. You know, Rav Sheish basically says, Ravan, do me a favor. Don't blame me for this. Because we know we learned already in the past, when Chum got angry, you drop dead or whatever, right? What did he say? He gave him over the message. He says, Anan, Anan, mimekartoi or metaltoi? Do I collect this money from land or from movable items? And then he says, Uman Yosef be Marzecha Bereisho, who sits at the house of Marzecha at the head? Okay? Also, Rav Hanan lekami de Marukva. So Rav Hanan went to Marukva. This is travel musical Chachamim here. Amalei said to him, Chazim Marhecha Sholich li Rav Huna. Look what Rav Huna sent me. Anan, Anan. Okay? Without no titles, he just called me by my first name. And he says, Lo yadayna maninu. I don't know what marzicha is. Rav Huna sent me a question. Should I collect the money from land or movable items? And then he sent me a question with marzicha. I don't know what marzicha is. Amalei, so Rav Maruka said to him, Amalei easy. Tell me now. Tell me the whole story. This is too funny. He said, tell me the whole story. What really happened? Amalei, so Rav Hanan said to him, Hachal hachal av ha-maisa. This is the story. I sent Rav Huna a message calling him Huna. Right? I asked him, I told him to collect the money for this woman. He sent back a message, a nasty message, saying, Anan, Anan, should I collect it from Karka or Metaltalin? And then he says to me in the message, who sits at the end of Marzicha? And he says, I don't know what Marzicha is. So he says, Amalei Samar Ukva said to him, Gavra de la Yoda Mainil Marzicha. A guy that doesn't even know what Marzicha is, Shalach Le Rav Huna, Huna Chavrin, send such a title, a statement to Rav Huna without respect? Meaning like this, let me explain the story over here a little bit. This Rav Hanan, by the way, the Mefarshim say at the bottom, Eliyahu Navi used to come learn Torah with him. This Rav Hanan was a very, very great man. But Rav Huna was greater. Okay? Rav Huna was greater. Rav Huna was upset that either, according to the Gemara, it seems that he was a student of Rav Huna. How does he call me, Rav Huna, without a title? Call me Huna, what is he, my buddy? So I sent him back this thing. Who do you think you are? And then I said, and who sits at the head of Mazricha? The head of the table at Mazricha. So Marukva said to him, a guy that doesn't even know what Mazricha is should not be writing Huna to Rav Huna. You know, Rav Huna basically said to him, you see that you don't know as much as I do. Why are you calling me Huna? So Gemara Taka says now, my Mazricha, Marzecha, I mean, what is this Marzecha? So it means an oval, a mourner. The Chsev says in the Pasuk, Koyam Hashem, Al Tovei Beis Marzech. Do not go to the house of a mourner. What does it mean? Like the Gemara says now, Amir Abba, what does it mean? Who sits at the head of the Mazrecha? When they used to have the oval, the mourners coming to comfort, so the mourner sat at the head of the table. But Rav Huna wanted to prove to him that he doesn't even know what a Mazrech is. He knew that Rav Huna is not going to know what Mazrech is. And he Taka didn't know. So the Mar Ukva said to Rav Huna, you shouldn't be sending a letter to Rav Huna with his first name if you don't know what Mazrech is. So Gemara said, what is Mazrecha? And the mourner's house. So Rav Huna's question to Rav Anan was, who sits at the head of the table in a mourner's house? Which the answer, by the way, is a mourner. It's a very interesting story here. Exactly what's going on over here.
There were colleagues.
First of all, you don't find anywhere Hillel said to Shammai, Shammai? What do you find that? You find that in the, by the Amiroyim, but there were Mamish colleagues. Here, Rav Huna said, I'm not your buddy. I'm not your colleague. I'm your teacher.
What gives him the
chutzpah
to close?
Not only that, but the Mefarshim asked a different question. When Rav Huna sent back Anan Anan, Rav Huna was upset that he called him Anan Anan. But the question is, he did the same thing to Rav Huna. What's he angry about? So they bring down over here, the Meram Shif explains why Rav Huna took offense. He used a similar language. But the Mefarshim explained, what did he mean? When Rav Huna asked him, who sits at the head of the Marzecha? He meant to him, you're a great man, but you're not the greatest in your city. So there are people greater than you.
So in other words, the guy who's the top guy, he sits at the head of the table.
Right. But he wanted to show him that he didn't even know that Rav Huna wouldn't know what Mezrecha means. But he basically said to him, who sits at the head of the city? Not you. So you're not even the greatest guy in this city. Why are you sending me this letter like that? With a Huna. You know, low respect. Interesting. But you have to, just to get it straight, you know, the bottom line is, these Tanoim, I mean, Eliyahu HaNavi used to come with them, they had no Yetzer Hara, these people. It was nothing personal ego over here. It was all halacha. The Gemara teaches us, you need to have respect for the teacher, for the Rebbe, and you can't call him by his first name, his buddy, he's not your buddy. And Rav Huna, no, I mean, it's not that, God forbid, they had egos, that they were, you know, bickering about the egos. It's pashut halacha, whether they were allowed to do it or not allowed to do it.
Mikan Hillel was disrespectful,
and yet Hillel didn't get angry.
Yeah, he didn't get angry. Because it was Amaras to get called
up. Yeah, no. First of all, we don't know that. I mean, it's... Let me tell you something. The Gemara tells a story about that guy. Yeah? It has to be great that the Gemara should talk about him. Gemara Taka doesn't say his name. Yeah? But just think. The Gemara mentions stories about people. Those people were great. No, if not, the Gemara wouldn't mention stories of Absai, nobody. Yoko. So, I mean, they had greatness to them.
Well, stories meaning to bring out the greatness of Hillel.
I understand, but still, there were other ways of bringing out the greatness of Hillel. But the Gemara told, you know, the way the Gemara tells the story, it's... Okay, Amar Rababu. Rababu says, Minayin la'aval shemeisiv b'rosh. How do we know that the mourner himself reclines at the head of the table? Because it says in the Pasuk, Efcha darkam, I will choose their way. Ve'eshiv rosh, I will sit at the head of the table. Ve'eshkin b'melech, k'melech, I will rest like a king. Bagdud, kasha avelim yenachim, when the mourners console. Okay? So what does that mean? Like it says, Eiv goes back, but the Gemara says, Yenachem achena mashma means, Yenachem means he will console others. So the Gemara says it means Yenachem. He will be comforted. Meaning like this. From the Pasuk you see that the guy being comforted sits at the head of the table. Who's being comforted? The mourner. If the mourner is being comforted, he sits at the head of the table. Mazutra, Mamehochar, Mazutra says a different thing. It says, Sar Mirzach Sruchim. Excessive mourning will approach a meaning which is expounded as follows. Mar vizeh nasasad l'sruchim. One who is bitter and detached becomes the prince of the exalted ones who come to console him. Meaning again, what do we see from that pasuk? That the mourner is called a prince and a king. So therefore, who sits at the head of the table? The mourner, because he's the best. Amir Rava. Okay? Now Rava says about the wives and the daughters collecting, you know, Hilchasa like this. Rava says, a wife or a daughter collecting from the estate can only get from land, not for metautalin, not for movable items, and whether it's for food, for the wife and daughter. Bein luksuva, or to collect the wife's ksuba, or the parnasa, for to get the dowry, Rava says the halacha is, they can only collect from land, not from movable items. But Tesis over here says, that before, that he wrote, Bismanazeh, kulim metautalin. Nowadays, everybody collects only metal. They said before the Ga'inim made a takana that you collect from movable items. So even though the Gemara rules, that you collect from metal only from land, but Taisa said before that nowadays we only collect from, Okay, the veneer of Bizman Azeh, Taisus and Dafnun Aleph says, nowadays, Kula Gavim Metautalim, Mitakonis HaGo'inim. Taisa, the Go'inim, after the Gemara, made a takonim for the benefit of society, that you do collect even for movable items. Even though the Gemara rules not like that, but it's not practical, Allah.
But isn't it easier for a daughter of a deceased to have something tangible that he can use? Like, what's she going to do with the land? That's the point.
That's where we're coming to the next Mishnah. No, the next Mishnah, that's what it talks about.
So she says, only for Metalton?
Huh? For Metalton. No, everything for Metalton. But Bash is only Metalton. Okay. But if there's no metalton, then they collect from land, like anybody else.
So what changed?
Because it's takoni, which is for the betterment of the world.
Just easier to collect.
Easier. Okay, then it says like this. Hamash lishmois lebitei. A guy deposits money with another guy, with trustees called. The guy says, I want you to, the guy gives money to his friend, okay, he's a trustee, and he says, I want you to buy land for my daughter. Okay, I want you to buy land for my daughter. Via Meres, and she comes along and says, Neman Bali Alai, I trust my husband, meaning, give him the money, give my husband the money, and let him buy a field when I want him to. The father gave it to a trustee for the girl. Okay? The girl says to the trustee, because the father died, obviously, right? The girl says to the trustee, give my husband the money. I want him to buy me land.
But if she's married, why is she getting money?
Okay, we're going to see that to Machlag Yisrael Rishonim. Rashi says it's after Nisuyin, and according to most Rishonim, they only had Kedushin. They didn't actually get married yet. To my future husband, basically. But it's interesting. Yas HaShlish Mashehu Shlish B'yodei. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says the trustee cannot listen to the girl. The girl says, give it to my husband, but that's not what the father said. The father said, I want you to buy the land for my daughter. So even though the girl herself says, it's for me, give the money to my husband, future husband, let him buy it, he's not allowed to. That's what the mayor says. Rabbi Yaisi says, why not? If it would only be a field, and she would wish to sell it, She could sell it from now. In other words, if the trustee buys the land, yeah, for her, she could sell it whenever she wants. Even if the trustee listened to the father, yeah, and he bought the field for the daughter. It's whose field is it? It's the daughter's field, right? She could do with it whatever she wants. So the V.A.C. says, so even if you didn't buy the field, the money's hers. Why can't she do whatever she wants? Rav Meir says, no. The father said, you should buy the land, not the husband. So he can't buy the land. Because she can't, the husband cannot buy the land. Comes along Rav V.A.C. and says, I don't understand, why not? If the trustee bought the land, can she, right now, can she sell it now? 100%. So why, I mean, it's her land. Why can't she tell the guy, give the money to my husband?
Why didn't you trust the husband?
Well, we don't know that. But, listen. According to the, well, you don't know who says this. We'll see in the Gemara. Not today, probably. The Gemara says, when do we listen to her, B'gdayla, if she's an adult? Mm-hmm. We don't know yet what this is referring to, by the way. But, B'gtana, if she's a minor, ain ma'isik tana klum. The act of a minor is worthless, and we don't know what that means. Is Rav Meir saying this? Is Rav Yossi saying this?
Also by Shavuot, before, how old do they have to be to make a Shavuot? The girls. To make a Shavuot.
No, they have to be all an adult. The kids can't swear. By the way, Tosfos says an interesting thing over here. Rabbi Yossi says, if she could sell the field, why can't she do the money? Whatever she wants. So Tosfos said, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Rabbi Meir says she couldn't sell the land. If the trustee, yeah, bought her land, so Rabbi Yossi says, listen, if she could sell it, right? She could sell it. So why can't she do with the money whatever she wants? But Rabbi Meir says, no, she wouldn't be able to sell it. Because it's set aside for dowry.
Well, that's a dowry.
No, because you would have to, the Tosfos says, the mayor holds you wouldn't be able to, any chalal macher, which you wouldn't be able to sell it.
Until?
Huh? Until
what date? Until she gets married?
Yeah.
Nachon?
So the question over here is, by the way, a child, even though a gadol is bar bas mitzvah, but a child is not allowed to sell his father's property that he inherited until he's 20. Same thing with a girl. The girl inherited land, she cannot sell the land. She gets it, it's hers. She cannot sell it until she's 20.
Safe.
Why? Because under 20, they're old, they're adults, but they're not mature to understand business. He doesn't pick you up and ask from their date. You're 20, you go make a living. That's a level of maturity that they can have. But under 20, she couldn't be able to sell it.
That's why I can't give her the money.
What if you need the money for food?
No, this is for dowry. Food she gets. Sustenance she gets. Okay, we'll leave here.
All right, we'll just... We all went bent the last 2 weeks.